Okay, guys, welcome to the show. This is episode 2 of Deborah Does Headlines. I wish we could say Debbie Does Headlines, like the old movie, but
like Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah,
was that the name of the movie? Debbie Does Dallas.
I believe so. It was before my time. I never saw it, so that was a early pornographic film.
Mm-hmm.
But we just had a nice talk for about 10 minutes before we got on, discussing our little differences on the last show we had. Neither of us were very happy about it, so I'm glad we got that out of the way. Do you feel better?
I feel much better.
Are you still angry with me?
No.
Okay. Good news.
It's hard for me to get angry.
Yeah, but you were angry.
I was upset. Yes.
Yeah. People listen to the show. I liked our guest. I think she was really good. I wish we didn't get bogged down in us, me and you, getting into an argument with her, like kind of just sitting there. Because yeah. I know that she didn't want to like yell at you. So, but it was good. I think people will enjoy it. But last week we did the headlines and everybody loved it. So I think it's a good way for us to do a show just one-on-one and for you to be engaged with it. And yesterday was the big elections.
Yeah.
We didn't see a red wave like we'd been promised.
No red wave. Yeah.
But they're still counting the votes everywhere, which is pretty weird.
Yeah.
Usually they'd, I mean, how was it? I remember being a young kid or up into like, you know, high school and stuff, and the news would be on if there was elections on, and it was, you know, at 9 o'clock, you knew who the governor was, right?
Yeah. Now it's all day long.
Ours, we had a governor race. You guys didn't have the governor race, right?
No.
You're stuck with
Gavin,
the American Psycho. But what was on the ballot in your neck of the woods?
Libraries, which passed. They wanted funding to keep libraries going. Libraries are still legal.
Right. That's good news on that front.
And school board, town council.
How about statewide?
The gambling, the 31 was is that the smoking one? The smoking,
but there was
vaping.
No, like senators or anything like that.
But I don't.
Because there's two senators per state, correct?
Uh-huh.
And who's yours? Dianne Feinstein?
Pelosi.
Pelosi. So they weren't up. They weren't up for.
So they weren't. No.
Yeah. So there was nothing really big.
House of Representatives. And I.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
Yeah. We had a governor's race.
Uh-huh.
Up here. So
and
we had
your outgoing. Has it still been Brown?
It was Kate Brown, and her term limit is up. And so like her direct successor, Tina Kotek, who's, you know, just a Portland DNC swamp creature, you know, one of those people that came from the state Senate, or I think she was a state senator. She's just, you know, Kate Brown 2.0. But Kate Brown was so unpopular here, even she had to like distance herself from her in her campaign ads and stuff like that. So, Biden came here a couple weeks ago and like stumped for her just because they're pretty worried about it. And her direct competition was Christine Drazen. And she's just a typical, Republican with all the normal Republican talking points, probably not the best. She wasn't wearing a mask in her campaign ads. So I voted for her, you know.
You and, voted?
I voted. I voted in local stuff. I got no problem voting in the local stuff.
Good.
So yeah, some people call me a statist, and I have no problem with that. So yeah, I voted for that. There was a measure 114. So as of now, the governor race is, it's like 46 to 45%. Kotek, the Democrats in the lead. And man, it's just frustrating to see those like county breakdowns of the state, you know? And it's just like Portland is blue and Salem and Eugene are blue. And they have, you know, they have the majority of the population. And then the rest of the state is just
red,
a sea of people that want to be left alone, even though Republican, normal, everyday Republicans aren't going to leave us alone. But, you know, maybe we'd fare better in the case of the next lockdown or something like that. Who knows?
So are they predicting a runoff?
Well, I'm not quite sure how that works. Is that a federal law, or is that just like state to state where if somebody doesn't get 50%? I know that that's what is happening in Georgia. I just looked at Drudge Report today. And so Herschel Walker lost.
Well, neither
of them got 50%. So then they have a runoff with just the two of them. And somebody has to get over 50%.
Yeah.
So you can't be like a quota candidate like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton won the presidency with 43%.
Huh.
And I think he was the first to do that.
Wow.
Because of Ross Perot.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then other stuff, like there's local stuff. I voted for our representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, I just voted for the people that are most likely to leave our county, my district, how it is. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with how it is. But if you go down to like St. Helens or Scappoose, which are the two bigger cities on the way to Portland, they're building condos and apartments and stuff like that. So it's just going to keep edging out and edging out. And people are going to say, well, like, wow, well, Portland's horribly dangerous and I don't want to raise a family here. Columbia County is really nice. Maybe I'll start moving up there. But then, you know, it's the same story everywhere.
Yeah.
So I saw. Yeah. What do you think? John Fetterman, are you familiar with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about him?
I'm surprised.
Deborah, this is how, I mean, imagine if 10 years ago, Dr. Oz was running against a normal person. You'd be like, I can't believe Dr. Oz from TV is running. This is ridiculous. But then like Dr. Oz is running against a guy that can't talk. The guy's probably like not a great, I mean, Dr. Oz is probably not a great guy. But John Fetterman, I mean, he has made, I remember seeing him back when I used to like think like socialism was cool. I remember seeing this guy and he wasn't as like, he didn't look quite as much like Lurch back then. And he apparently like was the mayor of some rundown steel town in Pennsylvania. I can't remember. And he was like kind of like a Bernie Sanders type guy, like a democratic socialist. And I thought that was cool at the time. I was like, oh wow, this guy's like an everyman. But it turns out like that's just an image. He's from like a really wealthy family. I don't quote me on this, but I heard he might be from Harvard.
Oh wow.
I
mean,
it's a big surprise to me but the poor guy had a stroke.
Right. So how much of his not being able to speak is still from his stroke? Because it wasn't that long ago. It was in the summer, right? That he had the stroke.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, that it's wild. Did you see when he went? Did you see clips from that debate?
Just clips. I didn't see the whole thing.
Like when he said goodnight at the start.
Poor guy.
I mean, it's seriously like, I feel bad for the guy. Like him and his wife is kind of the one pulling the strings, I think. She's the one behind the scenes.
Have you seen her? I was watching his acceptance speech or whatever last night.
Yeah.
And his kids and a woman came up on stage. I assumed it was his wife. They didn't hug or anything, but.
Yeah, I mean, if my wife like couldn't talk anymore, I would try to protect her and like say, you know, hey, maybe you got to slow it down a little bit. Maybe you shouldn't be in government. But it's just kind of a bummer to see that, like, your state senator is supposed to do stuff for you and the people of the state. Mm-hmm. And all that it's being used for is just this team politics. You know, it's just like, oh, if we need to get this guy that can't speak English anymore to go to Washington, D.C., just because it'll swing the votes in a certain way, you know. And it seems like, you know, everything is so polarized right now that it's the true reason that, I mean, what they tell us that they're supposed to be politicians like senators for is to take care of the people of their state and look out for the interests of the people of Pennsylvania, which is like, you know, Western Pennsylvania is a traditionally pretty rough and tough working class area with a lot of like shut down steel mills and Rust Belt towns that have had a big, hard time, you know, opioids, mm-hmm. opioid crisis. And then you look at like Philadelphia. Have you ever seen any of those images of, I think it's called Kensington is the area of Philadelphia, which is like, it's an open air drug market. It's like the Tenderloin on steroids. It's,
oh my God,
insane. There's people have made YouTube videos just driving through it, and they're like 45 minutes long. And it's just like, you know, do you ever see like the backside of the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, you know, where there's all those tents and people live in?
Yeah.
It's like 45 minutes of that, like in the actual city of Philadelphia. So yeah.
Sheesh.
It's a state that needs some help. Mm-hmm. And who knows? You know, maybe Fetterman's a man for the job. Who knows? But
who knows? Yeah. Who knows? He's like a giant. He's like close to 7 feet tall or something.
Yeah. He's got a very heavy, there's a bunch of pictures of like flies on his head and stuff like that. It's like
he is scary looking.
Yeah. But I think that was like his shtick. He's just like, oh, I'm just a common man. I wear basketball shorts and a hoodie and go talk to people door to door, you know? It's very strange. But the fact, I mean, yeah, I don't know what Dr. Oz was running on.
I don't either. But, you know, they were calling him a carpetbagger.
Is that like a Hillary, like what Hillary Clinton does? Like how Hillary Clinton was the from New York.
From New York, yeah.
Yeah. So you like go someplace to. So Kate Brown would be a carpetbagger.
Uh huh.
Because, I mean, that's the crazy thing. That's Jerry Brown's sister. It's like, well, who's the fam? Who are their fam? I've never looked into that. What is their family up to? Like, who are they? Why do they get two of the siblings of their family to be governors of two West Coast states?
The father also?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
I think he held a position also.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I saw Jerry Brown one time down there, down in the uptown in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Used to live in one of those new condos down there. And then he would like brag that he lived in a danger, like one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Oakland. Because I guess per capita, like the limits of whatever they call this neighborhood were dangerous. But yeah, you know, down there, down there by the Fox Theater, you know what I'm talking about? Broadway, Telegraph.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He used to live in one of those condos down there.
That's all. Well, not all, but, you know, I've been to the Fox Theater recently.
Yeah. There's a lot of nightlife and stuff down there. But
gentrification going on.
Yeah. But yeah, that'd be a fun one for me to look into, is like, who was their family and why are two siblings from it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, state governors. But what else did you see today from any of these races?
Well, the Georgia thing just
I've
makes
got
me
that written
crazy.
down. So what is what? Oh, which part?
The governor, Warnock and Walker and
Herschel Walker, football star, African American. He's like, it's hard to see that he lost because that guy is. I mean, I don't think he's a great candidate. I don't really know what he's running on. Just kind of, he's kind of, is he under the, like the MAGA umbrella? Is he like a Donald Trump endorsed?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. But he is like beloved in Georgia because he went to University of Georgia, was like the best running back ever, you know, out of university. He won the Heisman Trophy and stuff. And then went on to have like a fantastic NFL career. So
well, I guess that gives me one little piece of understanding of how he could get as far as he did.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know what his opponent was all about either. So
he's a pastor, I believe.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah, and then Stacey Abrams lost again. And I went to the headlines in Billy Ray Valentine's, like, if you want to get like a little bit more balanced on the left side, go to Democracy Now. So I went to Democracy Now and looked at that. And the article about Stacey Abrams losing again. So she's famous because she lost the last one. And then pretty much until right now, it seems like she thinks she won. And we talk about all this election denial and stuff like that on the Trump side.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was doing it before Donald Trump made it cool. And but they do. I went and looked at the article on Democracy Now, and it was talking about how Kemp, is that who she runs against? Kemp, I think.
Yes.
And yeah, George, it's weird to see how these states get into the conversation so much, like on a national level. Like everybody knows about certain states, I guess. And it's this whole team thing, like how people think they're gonna, like, oh, we're gonna flip the Senate or the House. But yeah, the article is already saying that she won, or he won, Kemp won, because a majority of rural whites favored him, which, you know, I don't doubt, but they're already pushing the whole voter suppression thing and stuff like that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That's their version. That's the left's version of election denial, is saying that voters suppressed. Did you vote in person or did you vote in mail, by mail?
Mail.
Yeah. It's strange to me that people still go in person, just because I'm from California and I'm so used to voting through the mail. Like that's just how everybody always did it. But
and lately, if you're I guess I signed up for this at some point. I received a text message when they counted my vote.
Oh.
To let me know they received the ballot and your vote is counted.
Yeah. It would be they should tell you what your vote was. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what was I saying? But yeah, so they're already, Stacey Abrams is already complaining about voter suppression. They say gerrymandering a lot too. And what's that? Like rearranging districts.
So that's how all those Republican states got the vote.
It's so wild that the voter suppression that they talk about is, would gerrymandering only matter in the case of like districts? Like in a statewide election, how do you gerrymander?
Well, if you move the boundary, knowing that that side of the county tends to vote in, you know, one direction or the other,
But that would be for like a district. But if it's the state, if it's the whole state that you're running for, so it's just the popular vote. It's not like you're moving the lines of the state.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a lot of black people in northern Georgia, so we're going to make that into Tennessee now. But I understand how it works on like a local level. So, yeah. So we'll see how long that lasts for.
And then the other big one is Arizona.
Yes.
Carrie Lake.
Oh, Carrie Lake and I don't know. So she's the big she's a good politician. I saw her do some speeches at rodeos and stuff like that. And she's a good speaker. She's, you know, it's cringy Donald Trump MAGA politics, but I saw a bunch of old footage of her in the past talking about, she was like a hard leftist for, 100% for abortion. She was like a Buddhist and all this stuff. And now she's mega MAGA. Huh. So yeah, it's like this, when people are unpopular and they just keep jumping subcultures to see if one will stick, It's like, oh, it's like, I'm a goth today. maybe I'm a hippie tomorrow at high school,
She was I believe a news broadcaster at one point.
Okay. I hadn't heard of her. I heard some stuff. I listen to No Agenda, so I hear clips and stuff every once in a while, but I hadn't heard of anything from her before this week. But I guess so all these the reason you know about all these states is because
they're
different parties are hoping that they can get them so they can sway the votes. And then there's another one too in that state, but I don't really know who they were. I know there was a libertarian candidate that dropped out, endorsed the Republican, but they lost. So it's interesting to see all these states that are supposed to be these super based, freedom loving states and the way that they're voting. And it's like, I mean, Beto O'Rourke, that guy sucks bad. And he lost in Texas, but he got 3.5 million votes. And his, Abbott got 4.5 million, which is a lot more, I guess, but still, I mean, that's, 500,000 vote each way, 500,000 votes swing is they're each getting 4 million votes. So, Texas is, it's strange. It's not like everybody thinks it is, I guess. Those big cities in Texas are so huge.
Yeah.
Houston and Dallas and Austin has over 1 million people. It's like everywhere else, these big cities sway the vote. I wish there was a way that that we didn't have to be ruled by, if you're people out on a farm, you don't have to be ruled by people in a
huge metropolitan. The one that surprised me, because I just didn't even know she was on, campaigning or running for anything, Sarah Huckabee in Arkansas.
Oh, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the old press secretary.
Yeah.
The one that when it was okay to make fun of how women look. Because she's a Republican, right?
Right.
She took a lot of shit. And she had to, I mean, that's a terrible job.
Horrible.
And she did a pretty good job doing it for Donald Trump. She seemed like a tough lady who knew. I mean, what you can say about those two chicks that did it, I mean, that did it for Donald Trump is they were prepared. And they did a pretty good job defending him. The one they got now is just terrible.
Oh, what's her name? Psaki?
No, she's gone.
Oh.
She got traded out for the lesbian black girl, Kareen Jean Abdul St. Pierre Van Damme. So that just goes to show like the difference in our bubbles is because mine has about, I see her about five times a day just talking nonsense. And it sucks because it's like she was a quota hire. She got hired because she's black and she's gay. And she's not up to the job.
Mm.
And, you know, that's kind of the problem with like affirmative action and stuff like that, is all these people that weren't smart enough to get into, not saying they weren't smart enough because they're black or a minority or something, but a bunch of people that shouldn't have gotten into like Stanford and Harvard and stuff got in and then couldn't make it and flunked out, you know?
Yeah.
And then the people that were good enough and got in, and then like they'll always be like, oh, that guy was a affirmative action case, you know, that's why he got into Stanford. So, but yeah, it's she's fun to watch. That same Fox News guy goes back and forth with her all the time, but yeah, she has to lie for the current administration now. I mean, imagine having to do that every day and say that there's no inflation and that it's transitory and that, you know, it's just, yeah. It's, oh, you know, it was a funny meme I saw about Fetterman. It was from the Babylon Bee, and it said, "Nation unsure whether to support party that runs brain damaged candidates or the party that loses to brain damaged candidates." So,
yep.
You know what we never got into last week was the we talked about Nancy Pelosi for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
We never got into Paul Pelosi.
We touched on it just briefly.
We just grazed it.
About you brought up his gay lover.
He man, the guy likes to party.
Yeah, he got that DUI last summer on
Highway 29 up there in the Napa Valley. I think that's the same place my father got a DUI. So, and then this happens. He's what do you know about the case?
I really don't know much at all. I've heard that, you know, they're saying that the window was broken from the inside out. I don't know if that's just, you know, yada, 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 or, you know, what, I don't know what facts are coming out about that.
Yeah.
I think she may back off her career.
Because of it, or because she's 98 years old?
The combination.
I mean, she's got to hang it up at some point.
Yeah.
She's old.
Not as old as Diane.
Yeah. She looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It sucks that it's weird because you don't really even hear about her anymore.
No, nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're all swamp creatures. They're all the same, but it's like, it's like the same thing with like a football player or MMA fighter that sticks around too long. It tarnishes your legacy, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just, why it does. And it's so strange that none of them want to. It's, why are we being ruled by people that are in their 80s?
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not.
I mean, she's even, not.
You're not close to 80 and.
And look at my decline.
But I mean, you're still doing pretty good. You can walk around. You can kind of drive, you know.
Kinda.
Yeah. But you don't want to be doing that.
Hell,
what do you
no.
want to do? You want to go out in the garden and drink some tea?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Go to lunch. Go to bed early.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't fathom why anybody would. Especially, you know, it's got to be stressful and all, you know, I don't know. People like different stuff. So I was just thinking, you know, all that travel would really wear me down. But some people like that. So
maybe
that's not an issue for her. But
maybe they're scared of what happens when they relinquish power, you know.
Yeah.
So That's when we can start getting into all sorts of weird stuff. But like, a lot of, I think a lot of these people are scared to die. I truly do. I think they're scared to die because I think they know that they're going to have to answer for things. That's just my opinion. But back to Paul. So Paul gets a DUI this summer. What comes out in that case that a lot of people overlook? So I think he was driving a newer Porsche SUV because they're really wealthy. The guy's the smartest picker of stocks in the history of the world. You know, apparently he knows all the information. It has nothing to do with insider trading, nothing to do with any of that. But you know, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. In his accident, I think he crashed when he got that DUI. The front passenger side airbag was deployed. On modern cars, an airbag only goes off.
If there's somebody sitting in the seat.
Correct. Never got brought up.
Okay.
So, seems like there might have been somebody making the trip home with him. So this guy, I think there's been reports from his neighbors that they see a lot of men going in and out. Paul's seen at certain bars in certain neighborhoods in San Francisco.
Is that so?
And a week after the attack on one of the, I think the ABC station in your neck of the woods did a news report talking about the case, talking about what happened when the police got there. And it was promptly pulled. But the internet doesn't forget.
What did they say that got pulled?
What would you like to hear?
I sure would.
Oh, and so this guy's being claimed, you know, they're claiming that he's a far right mega MAGA is the new thing. That's what Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, she coined that term.
Okay.
But this guy's a nudist who lives in a bus in Berkeley. He's a Canadian illegal immigrant.
Right.
He's been active in the nudist scene in the Castro. You know, I don't know if there's a lot of Trump supporters over there in that scene, you know.
I would be very
And then
surprised.
on his bus, he's got like all the normal, he's got like the BLM signs and the trans flag and stuff. So let's see. I don't have a way to let's see here. I don't have a way to play the clip. I probably do, but I don't know how. So I can do what I can do is I can play the clip from the No Agenda website. So let me pause. Let me pull this up.
Okay.
Okay, so I found it. So it's NBC's deleted video about Paul Pelosi attack. And I think this came out a week after the attack. So
Okay.
after like a lot of stuff had already been scrubbed, they're muddying the waters. They're not letting the body cam footage out or the 911 tapes or anything like that. So I'll play this through my phone right now, and then I'll go clip it after the show and edit that in so it sounds better. So okay, here's the clip. Tell me if you can hear it. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear it well.
Okay.
Craig, good morning. When officers arrived here at the Pelosi home exactly a week ago today, they initially didn't have any idea exactly what was going on. They knew they had a high priority call on their hand. What was unclear, what was happening inside the property just behind me. This morning, Paul Pelosi is home, back at the house that became a crime scene a week ago today. NBC News learning new details about the moments police arrived. Sources familiar with what unfolded in the Pelosi.
What do you think is going on with this guy's voice?
He's very articulate.
Yeah, listen to, he says blood later. Listen to how it sounds.
now revealing when officers responded to the high priority call, they were seemingly unaware they'd been called to the home of the Speaker of the House. After a knock and announce, the front door was opened by Mr. Pelosi. The 82-year-old did not immediately declare an emergency or try to leave his home, but instead began walking several feet back into the foyer toward the assailant and away from police. It's unclear if the 82-year-old was already injured or what his mental state was, say sources. According to court documents, when the officer asked what was going on, defendant smiled and said everything's good. But instantaneously, a struggle ensued as police clearly saw David DePap strike Paul Pelosi in the head with a hammer. After tackling the suspect, officers rushed to Mr. Pelosi, who was lying in a pool of blood. What we do know is brutally attacked Mr. Pelosi and attempted to kill him. After spending several days in the ICU, Pelosi, who is recovering from a fractured skull and serious injuries to his arm and hand, is now home, where Capitol Police remain on alert. Investigators have previously said Pelosi did not know DePap when the 42-year-old broke into his home. Why Pelosi didn't try to flee or tell responding officers he was in distress is unclear. Fear takes over. Fear freezes people. This morning, the 82-year-old, lucky to be alive after an intruder nearly killed him in his own home. Law enforcement officials tell us the bottom line here is this was a terrifying situation. We still don't know exactly what unfolded between Mr. Pelosi and the suspect for the 30 minutes they were alone inside that house before police arrived. Officials who were investigating this matter would not go into further details about these new details. Craig, back to you.
Yeah, well, that's for sure, though. He is lucky to be alive. Miguel Amelgear for us. Miguel, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. And then so that was pulled.
Yeah,
that was
30 minutes. That's the first I've heard that he was in the house 30 minutes. What I did hear is that Paul evidently called 911 kind of hidden and just spoke.
And yeah, what they're saying is that he got away somehow, like convinced him that he had to go to the bathroom and that there was a phone in the bathroom. That's what the story is.
But so, that he didn't say, you know, there's an intruder, come, you know, he did like people calling the pizza. You've heard about people calling 911 and ordering a pizza.
No, I never heard that.
That, well, what they do is they get on the 911 line and say, I'd like to order a pizza. And the police goes, you are calling the police to order a pizza? Yes, and I would like that to have pepperoni on it. Are you okay? No.
Oh, I see.
No. Yeah. So yeah. That kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trickery.
Yeah.
But yeah. Interesting. Interesting
that was pulled off the air.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever learn the true nature of what happened. It's going to take some, and the way that they made it seem like the police didn't know that's Nancy Pelosi's house. They all know. They all got to know.
They know.
Yeah. So I guess Danielle Steele's house is right by there. It's some gigantic mansion.
Avery went to a party in that house at one point when she was in high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. They know.
Uh-oh, froze up a little, Deborah. Let me pause here.
So, yeah, I was just saying that evidently the police arrived in 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's faster than they'd come to my house. Probably faster than they'd get to your house, too.
Yeah. Although I have a police station right by where Hall Middle School was.
Yeah. 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 It's an interesting case, and, you know, it's too bad if, well, you know, he just wants to be an old gay guy and now he has to deal with all this, but you know, and it's hard for me to have any sympathy for Paul or Nancy Pelosi, because I think they're not good people. I think they're goblin creatures of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was strange to see, I guess not strange, but how fast this case was politicized, how fast, like immediately Joe Biden was saying that the guy was a MAGA Republican who was coming to the House. And did you hear that speech?
No.
Oh, it was like the next day.
Oh my God.
And he said, and he's saying this like it's fact, you know, like he knows. And he's saying he came to the House and he was saying the same chant as they were saying at the January 6th insurrection. Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy? So,
well, evidently he wanted to smash her kneecaps.
Yeah, that's
the report.
That's the story, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear from David DePap, but I don't think we're going to get much out of him. He might have a mental break. He might have already had a mental break. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Not us, and we probably won't.
But it's another amusing thing about this is that they're talking about how he is an illegal immigrant who's going to be deported, you know, back to Canada.
Back to Canada.
So this, they care about it. They care about it now. But, you know, when it's hundreds of thousands of people coming over the southern border into Texas and Arizona and California and New Mexico and all that, it's not a big deal. So who knows?
Who knows?
We could get that. It's going to be very interesting if we can get that body cam footage and a 911 call, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And, you know, David DePap might be feeling suicidal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he might.
But
he might. It would be really interesting to talk to somebody who, you know, hangs out in some of those Castro bars.
Yeah, to see who's gone home with him. Yeah, what if they were like, you know, what if they were doing cocaine together or something? He's like, you know, come back to my place with me. I'll give you a couple grams of coke and we'll just hang out and do whatever. And then you'll be on your way. Then that happens. And he's like, okay, I'm ready for my payment or whatever. And he goes, oh, we did it all. I don't have any more. And then he whacks him in the head with a dildo or something. OBDM on the show. They looked it up. There's a whole bunch of those things shaped like hammers. So
really?
Yeah.
And oh my God.
At some point it says that they both had hammers and then they were fighting over one hammer.
They were but tussling there's over the times hammer. When
they said they both had one.
Hammer games.
Yeah.
It's hammer time.
Hammer time. Coming through the back door and getting hammered.
Ooh, that takes on a whole never mind. Oh.
Well, do you have anything else that came across your feed that you want to talk about?
Russia is withdrawing from a big city in Ukraine, and they're saying that it's a retreat, but Russia's calling it a withdrawal.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a bunch of those where they said they've like withdrawn, and it's just like, no, they either like destroyed it and killed everybody there, or they just got there and Ukrainians were already all gone or something. Yeah, I don't think Russia's losing. They'll do everything to tell you that they are. I don't know. I remember hearing Tony Arterburn talk one time. I think he was talking to Charlie Robinson, and he's been in three foreign wars, you know, and whoever was talking to him asked him what he thought about like the Russian military and their soldiers, and he's just like, you know, we worked with them a bunch, and that's not the group of guys I'd want to be in combat against, you know. So
meaning that they're well trained.
Yeah, They don't mess around.
Yeah.
It seems like that's kind of taking a back seat. And I heard some things where Biden was actually getting upset with Zelensky for seemingly being ungrateful for all the aid that we've given him and just wanting more and more and more. So seems like they're setting up to shift something there. But yeah, it seems like I said, I don't watch the network news or anything. I get it from podcasts and mostly No Agenda. And it's been pretty quiet lately in the lead up to this election cycle and stuff like that. So who knows? It's all interesting to me. I like watching, following politics and stuff. And you know, my Twitter feed's filled with everyone saying like, oh, you know, voting doesn't matter, you know, blah 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 blah. And it's like atheists who do nothing but talk about God. It's people that don't vote that can't stop talking about it, you know. I you know, call me stupid and crazy. I think there's value in voting in local elections up to the state level. And it's upsetting when people are like, oh, they're all owned. They are all owned. They're all owned. You know, Ron DeSantis is a huge Zionist who will sell that whole state to Israel. But it's like, how's Gavin Newsom on Israel? Probably not the best. How's Kate Brown on Israel? They made me wear masks until March. You know, Ron DeSantis didn't. I'll take the Zionist that doesn't make me wear a mask over, even if they were fantastic on it. I'm taking the Zionist who doesn't make me stay locked in my house than the guy who's pro-Palestine and is for every lockdown. You know, that's just where I'm at politically right now. I love following politics and the culture war is more interesting to me right now than anything else. I'm the most interested in learning about theology, Christian theology, and the culture war, and kind of the overlap between the two. And that's why I like going to Orthodox Church so much, because my church is resisting that culture war that's being forced upon us. But yeah, that's where I'm at right now. I'd still like to get into some weird conspiracy stuff, but there's nothing out there that's really interesting me anymore. I don't need to hear about the Masons or you know, all that stuff. It's still fun, but it's the culture war is the funnest to me, and I'm getting back into history, and it's just deciphering which history I believe. I believe all that. I believe, you know, 19th century stuff for the most part up to now. So.
Well, on that political front, Trump is expected to throw his hat in the ring on, he said, the 15th next Tuesday. He has a big announcement.
I guess there was speculation that he might do it, because what do you have to wait till after midterms to do it for like some certain reason? I guess there was speculation that he would have done it sooner, but like everybody he endorsed lost.
Yes.
So it's not looking good for him. So maybe this is the big split. DeSantis is going to be hot coming off of landslide win. Well, it did seem like it's crazy that there's still Floridians voting for not him. But he's coming off a win, and Donald Trump seemingly is coming off a loss. So maybe this is where. It's crazy. We're going to be back in the presidential cycle right now, right?
I know it's going to start now. They're going to start campaigning. That's
traditionally what happens now after midterms.
So
yeah. So maybe this is where we see the split between Trump and DeSantis. And
and now Trump is calling him de sanctimonious also.
What does that even mean?
Sanctimonious is like what's the I don't know how to define it, like you think you're all that.
Oh yeah, all that, huh?
And and always correct. I'm always correct.
Well, DeSantis was more correct than Donald Trump over the past couple of years about the thing. So
I saw a clip of Donald, I don't know when it was recorded, but he said if these Republicans that I endorsed, if they win, they owe it to me. If they lose, it's all on them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that's how he's made a career out of he's, you have to admit, I know it's hard for you to concede anything to him, but he is fantastic at putting people in the corner and doing the whole heads I win, tails you lose thing. Like he's masterful at it. Just like putting people in a spot where there's they lose either way. So, but I think that luster has worn off. I think there's a lot of people that were upset, that really, really supported him, that were upset with the past 2 years of his reign, you know? And I think there's a lot of people that are going to be with him till the end, but it's going to be, buckle up. It's going to be a fun one.
He says McConnell should be ousted.
Yeah.
He said he should be impeached.
Yeah.
You can't impeach a senator.
You can't.
No. But he didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So. But I didn't have an opinion on it, right? So I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. And you didn't run the country, so.
I didn't know, so I didn't have an opinion on it.
Yeah,
yeah. That's how I roll. Well, Deborah, this has been a lot of fun. We're a little under an hour, but I think these are good. You like doing these?
Yeah.
They're good times. If we can keep a just point out the craziness on both sides, and it's fun to keep up and just do this stuff.
Yeah. So, off topic, all the sheep are doing okay now?
Sheep are good. I just got a text from my friend Carmen, who we got our original three from. And she's the one that did that pig butchering class up at her property. She lives like directly across the river in Washington from us.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she's a fantastic woman. And she like is really, you can tell she's respected. She lives like on a hill, and like you go up to her house, they have 5 acres, and there's always like 20 kids just running around. And she like brings the community together and does all that stuff. So
that's sweet.
You know, originally we got those three. And we were going to, Larry, who's the weather, the castrated male that we got from her.
Mm-hmm.
We got him to fatten up. She sold Laverne, who is a ewe, who's pregnant with Lyle.
Right.
When we got her, and Larry, who's a castrated male. And Larry was skinny because her pasture had gotten like torn up by her pigs. So she wanted to sell him to us. We would put him on our pasture to graze, fatten up, and then she wanted to do a workshop with him. She's like, okay, well, you guys fatten him up, buy him from me, and then we can use him for the sheep slaughtering workshop, and you guys will just keep the meat and do all that, and you'll get to come for free. And it just never worked out. She got super busy there building a new barn, and then she texted me last night at like 10:30. I saw it this morning when I woke up, and she's like, the weather changed, because you need to, after you slaughter a lamb, you need a sheep, you need to hang it in the cold for like a couple days. And so you don't really do that in the summer or anything. You have to have like a climate controlled place to do it if you do it in the summer. But so people do that in the fall when it gets cold. And so she texted me last night and asked me if we wanted to do it coming up as soon as she can get it put together. So we're going to do it with Larry, is Emily's favorite. So he's escaping with his life for now. And we're going to, Lyle, the son of Laverne, who she gave birth to here. We're studding him out. He's going to make babies with Lola. They're in love, they love each other, and so it's gonna have a good couple last weeks of his life. Then we're gonna take him out there and we're gonna put him in the freezer.
How long is the gestation period?
147 days.
Oh wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, 5 months.
Okay.
So that's why, yeah. So if we do mid-November now, they'll be ready mid-April. when it's starting to get nice again here. When it's actually warm just again. Warming up, even though last year we had a foot of snow on April 8th. So.
And I saw you had snow today?
No, but frost. It froze last night. Like all the animals' water was frozen. Just a little thin layer of froze. It was 27 when we got up this morning.
That is cold. And,
it was beautiful, though. It's been so nice here. I installed a window today on the back of the house that I've been working on. So it's all waterproofed. I put the window in. And then I went and got siding today so I can start doing that.
Cool.
First time I ever installed a window. Super easy. So
yeah. It was easy?
Yeah. Really easy. Okay. Just a couple screws. Just level it. Put a couple screws and some caulk on it. And it's done. Painted it. It was white. All our windows are like black frame windows. So we wanted to get a cheap one. So I just bought like $100 one from Home Depot and roughed it up with some sandpaper and spray painted it. So.
Perfect.
Good enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all coming together. I'm sad you guys can't make it for Me Thanksgiving. Too. But
I'm very bummed, but
you gotta do what you gotta do, and you guys will be up as soon as you can after that. I know it. So
yep.
Yeah.
And we'll see what all your hard work.
Have you started looking into the Yuba County 5 yet?
Not yet.
Okay, I'll send you a podcast. It's like I've been liking true crime lately too. So I've been listening. Uh-huh. You know, like how true crime podcasts are. They're always from like one of those big podcast companies. And they have like annoying ads in them and stuff. But I've been listening to some of those lately too, and I found a good one on it. And it's cool. Like the Yuba County 5 case has so many connections to me for just like because it. They disappeared after going to Chico to a game at Chico State. I went to Chico State, lived there for 5 years. Chico State was playing UC Davis. My dad went to UC Davis, and then their car got found up on the Plumas National Forest outside of Oroville. And I was a firefighter on the Plumas National Forest. And so it's cool because a lot of times you listen to these podcasts and they're like explaining the terrain or like actual highways and roads and stuff like that. And I like know where they're talking about. So it's cool. Uh-huh. So I can really follow along, but
yeah.
Julia's Cosmic Peach she's getting into it and she's like forming her own theory on what happened. So it'll be really interesting to hear that. It'll be a surprise for us. So I'll send you that podcast and
great.
It's on the 22nd, so if you need to switch it around because of other stuff, let me know.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know. I think it'll be okay.
Okay.
So, but fantastic. I'll let you know.
Right on.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks, love you. Adam. Love right. you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order are idiots. Playing God all day. Deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites, Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that 7-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turn us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.